Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. I hope you found the scripture this morning again in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. Look at verse 22 through 24, and if you are physically able this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Then David said to Ornan, "Give me this threshing plot so that I may build an altar to the Lord on it. Give it to me for the full price so the plague on the people may be stopped." Ornan said to David, "Take it. My lord the king may do whatever he wants. See, I give the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledges for the wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all." The king said to Ornan, "No, I insist on paying the full price, for I will not take for the Lord what belongs to you or to offer burnt offerings that cost me nothing." Father, speak to our hearts this morning through your word, God, as only you can do. Word says it will not return void, and Father, we claim that today. We know your word has power, it has life. God, challenge us today, grow us, convict us. And we commit all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The Cambridge Dictionary defines sacrifice as to give up something that is valuable to you in order to help another. Listen to verse 24 again, the last verse. It says, King David says, "Order, no, I insist on paying full price, for I will not take for the Lord what belongs to you to offer as a burnt offering, because it costs me nothing." First thing that I want to share with you this morning comes from that verse, and it is this. A sacrifice must have value to the person offering it. Sacrifice must have value to the person that is offering it. Many of you know the story of the widow's mite. Most of you have heard that since you were a little child, maybe a little flannel graph in VBS or Sunday school. But I don't think there's a person in here that wouldn't at least remember part of that. She gave everything she had, if you remember. Everything. Now look at it in value perspective. If you're a middle income earner during that period, that basically, by the way, is in essence a day's wage. Not much. What if a person that had, during that period, $300 in their day's wages and then gives the equivalent of a day's wage? Or let's say they gave the equivalent of a week's wage. What is a tendency for us? "Oh, that widow's mite does nothing. Man, look at this, he gave an entire week's worth. Wow, that's powerful. It's awesome, isn't it?" It's powerful and awesome if you don't see it from the biblical perspective or the this perspective or even that. Have you ever thought about what that represents in the widow's mite? She gave everything she had. She had nothing else to give. Let's say this morning you have a 401k that's worth $50,000. You have $5,000 in your bank account. And God laid on your heart yesterday to come in here this morning, write a check for your 501c3, whatever it is, 401k, and your bank account, because God divinely, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God laid on your heart to do it this morning. You're getting ready to experience what that widow did. You know why? Because you have no plan B. You gave it all. In all reality, how many here of us genuinely know what a real sacrifice is? What is a sacrifice? Does it feel good? It hurts. That's one thing I know about a sacrifice, is it hurts. As a matter of fact, that's why it's considered a sacrifice. to give up something valuable, something that means a lot, something in a sense that's irreplaceable. The story of David right here, there had been, of David's actions, judgment that had fallen on God's people. I wish I could get the time and we had the time to go in that whole entire thing, but long story short, David had made a bad mistake and there was judgment that had fallen on the people as a result of his actions. And he now understands that, hey, I've got to make things right. I have got to offer a sacrifice to the Lord. I want things to get straightened out because I'm just saying it in good old layman's terms here. I made a big boo-boo and I don't like the results of it. And others are suffering because of my actions. So let's get this straightened out. So he's going to do this. He's going to give this sacrifice. And when he goes to Ornan, that he's got a lot of respect evidently in Ornan's mind. Why? Because he's willing to give him everything required for this sacrifice. It jumped out at me when I was reading this, and that God laid this heart about three weeks ago in my mind. David recognized that had he taken him up on that offer, what would he have been doing? Sinning in essence. Why? Because that costs him nothing. I'm going to offer a sacrifice that costs nothing? That's not a sacrifice at all, is it? How easy is it for you or I to go to somebody else's bank account and help a family out? That's a real sacrifice, isn't it? No. But when you reach into your own, what is that? With money that you don't have. It's a sacrifice. Verse 23 there, Ornan said to David, take it, my Lord, do whatever you want with it. See, I've got oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing sledges for the wood, the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. The second thing I want to share with you comes from that verse right there, and it is this. A sacrifice must be given with the right heart. Ornan was given it with the right heart, wasn't he? Man, hey, I want to help my king. I want to help him with whatever he needs. I'll give it all to you. So the guy's got a great heart. You got yourself in that mess. Go and take your own stuff and sacrifice it. That's what a lot of American response would be, amen? Next Saturday, we celebrate Independence Day. The day that America gained its independence from Great Britain many years ago. Sadly, there's a lot of people that have forgotten what it even represents. Independence, I mean, you know, hey, we're America. We're guaranteed this freedom that we have forever. Oh, really? Oh, really? What about the blood that was shed? Thousands upon 10,000s of people's blood that's been shed all throughout history for what we take for granted. Is freedom. And God forbid even the freedom for someone to burn a flag. I pray I don't ever see it, but it happens. The free speech to say things sometimes that are so terrible. That's freedom. I pray that you love what this country should represent and has represented. It represents the freedom for no one to say, hey, you can't worship the Lord this morning. No, we're shutting you down today because we just don't want you to worship but every other alternate Sunday in the leap years or whatever else that they do all over the globe. In China, you know what's going to happen today. Today in China, there will be churches that are bulldozed, that were brave enough to open in the first place. There will be people arrested today for doing what we're doing right now so flippantly so many times. They're going to take pastors into custody that will spend years in prison. In Iran today, it's a greater danger. There will be people put to death this week on the terrestrial ball. We reside as we sit in our homes, air conditioned, enjoy and gripe about what's wrong in our life, there will be people who will die for doing what we are doing right now, this week. Voice of the Martyrs, Check it out if you get a chance. You'll find out about them every week. I get stories every week. Pastors that are just asking for us to pray for them. Persecuted. Why? Because they love Jesus. And they don't have the freedoms that we have. To do what? To share with those around them that there's a God that loves them, that died for them. And they lay down their lives and at great risk in many cases, because they cannot bear the thought of not sharing that with the people that they live among. See, a sacrifice has to be given with the right heart. If you or I are sacrificing a tithe or a time, hey, how many people sacrifice time to be with your families? Sacrifice financial things that you could have gotten if you would have spent more time chasing. By the way, it's like a hamster in a wheel. Don't chase it. It'll get you. Don't let money be your master. Use it for God's glory. Thank the Lord for it. There's nothing wrong. By the way, everybody wants to say, money is the root of all evil. That's wrong. Love of money is the root of all evil. Amen? Amen. Don't let people take the scripture out of context. Bible says, first thing out, when you say, hey, brother, sister, I'm concerned for you. I see you're not doing real well. Don't judge me. You just judged yourself. When a brother or sister comes to you in love that's concerned for you, why do they do that? Because they care about you. If any of you or I get out in left field, I hope someone loves me enough to come and to sit down and speak to me. Amen? What a shame it would be if you or I don't have someone that has the backbone enough and enough gumption to come to you and say, hey, I'm concerned for you. Let's sit down. How can I minister to you? What can I do for you? I see it doesn't seem like you're doing good. If your words or my words are, don't judge me, you've already judged yourself. Today, brothers and sisters, we are looking at a mess that David had created for the people by his choice. We're now looking at this reconciliation, this restoration process that's occurring. And David understands what a sacrifice is. He can't give God something that someone else is. Remember when the prophet Nathan came to David after the sin with Bathsheba? The little ewe lamb, I'll never forget that. Anybody else remember that story? One little ewe lamb the man had, he took it. Now, it's a powerful picture. David says, that man must die. You are that man, Prophet Nathan said. And then you see Psalm 51, when David's heart was transformed, it was all of a sudden overwhelmed with the guilt of his sin. I think we're seeing here David, in a sense, catching the picture of that with this. I want a sacrifice to be a sacrifice. Sacrifices must cost you. What does the scripture speak to us in terms of sacrifice? What does it call us as New Testament believers to be under the new covenant? Our lives are to be living sacrifices, pleasing and acceptable in His sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. A living sacrifice. We don't like pain. You mean I have to give of my life until it hurts for Christ? Well, that's not what the guy on home TV said this morning. Well, I'll tell you, I'd challenge you to ask him what the Word says, not what he thinks. Because I want to be a lover of the Word and I want to live in truth. I don't want to live in what I think that I want God's plan to be for me. Salvation's not a lottery, friends. It is a spiritual lottery in the sense that Jesus Christ died because we didn't deserve it. That's the biggest jackpot you could ever imagine having. Amen? He sent Jesus to die for us and give us what we do not deserve. $1 billion is gone. Because why? We'll live a measly 80 stinking years on this ball and then we're dead. You bought everything you wanted. You indulge the flesh only to do what? Find out exactly what King Solomon found out. Everything is meaningless. Chasing after the wind. Money. I watch people destroyed by money. Somebody said, what would you do if you won the lottery? I don't want nothing to do with it. And I mean that. I've watched too many people be destroyed. They have a show about it. Destruction. All in the families happen. Very few people do very good things with it. The majority of them end up broke and in debt in a very short period of time. See, how many times you have heard, ready? Man, if I got, I'd do so much for the church. Like, Lord, you give it to me, I'll do some real good things. When somebody says that, I say, listen, don't lie, I'd do the same thing. I'd probably go out, buy a jet, and say sayonara to everybody. Don't lie to ourselves, just be honest. I would hope I wouldn't if that ever did. Somebody walked up and said, here's a wedding lottery ticket, have fun, I don't want it. You would hope that you'd do that, but I'll tell you what, we're wicked. Amen? All of us, just shake your head if you don't want to say it. See, David was recognizing that a sacrifice must cost him. This morning, brothers and sisters, what sacrifice for Christ is there present in your life? What is this, the essence of sacrifice and the extent of it? It's easy to throw $5 at some hungry kid somewhere, some noble cause. But what is the extent of your sacrifice? And even relationships that you're willing to allow to die because you cannot stand to bear the thought of that person not knowing Christ. So you're willing to lose that relationship so that they might know the peace that passes all understanding. And if they reject it, well, so be it. How many times have I heard this? I don't want them to, they might not be my friend anymore. I'm scared that I'll ruin the relationship, really. Would you rather them stand before the Lord one day having you as the picture of sharing the gospel with them? Or them one day in sheer horror if God so had you standing next to him when they stand before him and that person look and say, why didn't you tell me? As they are getting ready to be cast into outer darkness. When we were the ones that God had placed in their life to share with them. Can you imagine? I've thought about that a lot. That's why you can hate me for truth. That's okay. I'd rather hate me for truth than to love me for a lie. How much could you hate someone not to share Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation with them? If you really believe there's a heaven and a real hell, and real people are going there, how could we not? Would you let a person walk into a building you know is full of natural gas that's going to explode? Well, I don't want to offend them. Would you say the same thing about that? Well, no, I'd tell them, oh, well, then you must not believe in the reality of hell then, because if you think that that building's going to burn up and hell won't get them, friends, that building is a blessing. Because if they're a follower of Christ, boom, they're walking off into an eternity in the presence of the Lord God. Amen? But if that person doesn't know Jesus Christ and they walk off into eternity not knowing him as Lord and Savior, friends, they haven't begun to experience a misery that will descend on them the moment they stand in front of the great white throne of judgment. A sacrifice must be given with the right heart, even to share Christ. The sacrifice of, I'm not worried about what they think of me. Be a David and understand, listen, I've got to sacrifice. It's got to cost me something. And Lord, I might lose my entire family, every friend that I have, but that's okay because you lost your life for me. You conquered hell and death. You bore my sin and 3 days later rose from the grave, triumphantly paying a price that I could have never paid because you love me. God loves you. God cares about you. This last thing I want to share with you. If you're taking notes, the sacrifice for our spiritual national freedom must never be forgotten. Understanding the price that Jesus paid in our America, our national freedom that we enjoy today, that I believe we all take for granted. I said, and I'd always mention this in messages, that can you imagine one day if they came in and shut down church? Y'all have heard me, and you sit there and go, yeah, right, that really would happen. I can guarantee you on March 1st this year, if I'd have said, listen, by the 15th of this month, we're going to be shut down for 90 days, you'd have thought I'd been on drugs. And you just said, I think preacher's done went off his rocker, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. There ain't no way it could happen. This is America. Oh, really? Can't happen, can it? Yes, it can. In one instantaneous moment, every single week, I look at the obituaries from Bedford County and Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia. It is amazing the number of people that on any given week in this county had no clue that they were going to be 10-7 at a service graveyard dead the week before. No idea. They sat in churches like us, or they didn't sit in churches like us, totally oblivious to the fact that they were going to stand in front of the God that created them, whether they believed in him or not. No idea. And when it happened, there's nothing you can do to stop it from happening. The Bible says our days are ordained for the foundations of the world. So every single one of us has a date with eternity. Wouldn't that be kind of wild if we had a clock above us? I think there'd be some people getting real nervous. Or people getting real excited. But you and I have the tendency to believe that we're, oh, that's something to deal with later on, death is. That's for later on, you know. I got so much going on right now, I don't have any ability to think about that right now. And every week there's people that die in horrific accidents, having gone out, drink, party, live for the world. This is one of the things that I think about, and I think about this now because this gives me a passion to share Christ, to be bold about it, and not to be ashamed or restrained. Imagine a carload of young people, even happened this week, that's been out and partying, living for the Lord. They don't care nothing about the Lord, nothing to do with truth, nothing. And they're having the grandest time of their life. Young love, young girl, young man, you know, just having a blast. I've seen a number of them, watched a couple of them this week from Texas. Mr. Engel does all the videos for it, for the law enforcement there. Whole entire carloads, young people, obliterated instantly. This is where it hits me when I see that in the spiritual sense. This is what I think. The moment before this happened, they were having the time of their life. I don't know what their spiritual condition is. So you can look at it from two ways. Hey, they're in the presence of the Lord. And many times there's indicators that would say, well, either God took them home prematurely or these people may not have known Christ. But imagine in one split second, you go from this world having the most incredible time that you and I could ever imagine having to instantaneously being transported into the presence of God in front of the great white throne of judgment. And in short order, we are in an eternity separated from God in the most horrific of places you could ever dream of being, with no chance for redemption. I will tell you, that makes me want to throw up, and I mean that literally. My stomach gets sickened when I know someone who blatantly rejected Christ that dies. That's happened a number of times since I've been a pastor. I pray something happened in the last moments of their life. But people who have flat out told me, I don't want anything to do with this God, this Jesus, and all this you're talking to me about, have said it right to my face. And a number of them, 2 weeks later, were dead. And it is a very sobering thing for me to think, what would they do now to come back and have that 5 minutes talking to me about this Jesus that I so passionately wanted them to know? Do you see where I'm going with this? Sacrifice your relationship for truth. Care about that person, because there is a real hell, whether you and I want to believe it or not, whether we want to forget that it's real and think, well, I'm good to go, and I hope everybody in my family's going to, I just hope it's, you need truth. Truth calls us to account. It calls us to decide. It could, a crossroads. How many of you right now, and I'm going to just say this, and you can't answer because you're right there and you wouldn't. How many of you right now go, you know what, I wouldn't want to stand before God right now for anything on this planet because I'm not ready? How many of you this morning who sat in these pews and still have that feeling that things aren't right, but you go in here week in and week out and keep telling yourself, oh, that's the devil's making me think that. Oh, friends, don't buy that lie. The enemy is not going to get you to give your life to Christ. Don't forget that. So if you're here this morning and you know that things are not right spiritually, one of the biggest gambles you could ever take is to walk out that back door without knowing Jesus Christ beyond a shadow of a doubt as your Savior and the Lord of your life. It is real. Eternity's real. But I want you to tell you something greater than that. God's love for you is real and much more incredible than you could ever imagine. He loves you passionately, so much so that he sent his son to die, bear a price that we could never pay, none of us, simply because he loves us. Do we really want to flirt with that? Do you really want to flirt with the fact that I'll do it next week? Brothers and sisters, how much of a fool can we be? We're not promised 5 more minutes. I'm telling you, I don't know why God laid this message so passionately on my heart today and how it even intertwines with sacrifice, but there's a reason that God's done this. And if it's you, I beg you to step back. And I don't want to sit here and scare you into making a decision because I think that's wrong. But you must know the truth. John the Baptist said, repent or you likewise will perish. And that's the truth. God's desire this morning, the Bible says that none should perish. And that's what I rest in this morning, is that God's desire is to save mankind. That's the love that he has for you and I. But it calls us to do this. Step back to do an introspective look. Say, today, what is the fruit of the Lord in my life? And if your question is, well, not a lot. I know Jesus died for me and I know that he loves me. And if you can't say, I know, I remember the time, might not be able to know the exact hour, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt when I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there was a transformation that happened in me. And no, I didn't become perfect, but I know definitively that that day I was 180 degree turn. That's what repentance is. And I turned from the direction I was going to Christ and I gave him my life, my everything, and he saved me. And I know that definitively this morning. If you can say that, glory, hallelujah, I'd like to run across the back of them pews. Wouldn't want to do it in these shoes. It'd be nasty. But that's why I rejoice in that. But if you're here and you do not know that and cannot say that, again, I beg you, I beseech you to step back and to ask yourself the question. There's a God that loves me, that created me. He sent his son Jesus to die for me. He paid a price I could never pay. Sacrifice for my life. This morning, in a sense, he is standing over my prison, my jail cell, with his hand extended, reached down to a place I can never get out of. Am I going to be such a fool as to say, I'm doing the best I can? Or are you going to finally get to the place where you realize that it is this, reached up for the hand that's reached down? The only thing that happens when we continue to fight in that prison of sin is we drown in our sin, convincing ourselves that a little more work will get us out. And that's what Satan loves. He loves to get us sitting in the pews going, you know what, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I don't have a desire to read the Bible and things, but you know, I'm not doing real bad. Everything's going pretty good. Yep. That's what he wants. But when the Spirit of God begins to convict your heart and you begin to realize that things are not right and you begin that feeling inside of going, I want this relationship with Christ that I hear these people talk about. I want to hear about this walking with Christ thing, and I want to be able to talk to him and feel like he hears me and responds to me. And not that the last time I was in trouble and I said, oh, God, help me, and nothing even happens. Yeah, that's not God. Ain't no Holy Spirit life preserver for people that are not his children. Amen. And for Christians, he's just not a Holy Spirit life preserver for whenever you get in trouble, then you hang him back up until you need him again. No, a relationship with Christ is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As the old hymn, he walks with me and talks with me. Amen? And it's that same in Christ, the solid rock. I still love that hymn. I would shout it, sing it, do anything else I can because it's so true. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. This morning, my question to you is that last verse, when he shall come with trumpet sound, where will you be found? Will it be dressed in the robe of righteousness? Will you stand faultless before his throne? Because only on Christ the solid rock we stand, will all other ground around not be sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his flood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around our soul gives way, he, then is all our hope and stay. I want to tell you something, that Christ is all sufficient this morning. He paid the price. I want to tell you what this morning. Do you know what the gospel is? It equals done. The law equals due. If you think that you can do anything to make God love you more, you are under legalism or the law this morning. The gospel means that he has paid completely and fully. And what you're doing this morning are the works that he prepared for you in advance, and you are merely living out what he created for and prepared for us in advance. Amen. You're serving him not to make God love you more. You're doing it because you cannot help but want to serve him, because he's been so good to you. You're not going up there and watching the filth at the movie theater because God's going to love you more, or you're going to go to hell if you do. No, you're doing it because you don't want to subject your mind to that filth, because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our nature is going to be stronger in one of two things. You go out there and watch Nightmare on Elm Street and that balloon-toting fool, and you tell me if your mind is going to do Colossians 3, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You tell me how a balloon-toting clown is going to get your mind and heart focused on Jesus. Stand up and tell me. Exactly. There's no one that could, because it doesn't. I know. I love that movie, Natural Born Killers, like a nursery rhyme. It is so vile. Don't watch it just to know what it is. It's so vile. It's so perverse. It is horrible. It's nothing but murderous rage. It's filth straight from hell. I loved it before I got saved. I'm dead up serious. I could watch that over and over again. Woody Harrelson, demonic. You know what happened when I got saved? I was praying in the mornings as I was started reading the Bible. God convicted me, started praying. You know what happened? I started seeing all that stuff and hearing all that stuff in my prayer time. And I remember one day I just stopped reading. I said, God, what in the world's going on? I can't even pray. I just got all the stuff. And it's as plain as day. God said, you're getting out what you're putting in. You think I'm any more saved because I don't watch Natural Born Killers no more in this filth? No, I'm no more saved than you are. But I'll tell you what. I wanted God to burn the dross off this old filthy mind. And the only way I could do it is to stop putting it in. Ask those people from the Olympics. They sit around and eat Twinkies. Ask them. They don't. You know why the top performance comes from? It don't come from Slim Jims and Twinkie friends. They get out what they put in. What are you getting out today? You're getting out what you're putting in. If you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind, I beg you this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'd do anything to convince you of that today, but ultimately, you're the only one that can answer God's loving call to repent this morning and turn to Jesus Christ for the free gift of salvation. And you know what's so awesome? Remember, I was a pastor's son. I was like nigh the living dead hell growing up. I was awful. Didn't want nothing to do with Christianity after 15 years old. You could have taken it, and I'd have told you where to put it. But Jesus Christ saved me at 29 years old. I wouldn't want to turn back for nothing in this world again, brothers and sisters. I've got nothing to go back to. I thank God that he's merciful and he's gracious, because I deserved nothing less than hell. I did. Not only that, because I grew up hearing the gospel and hearing the truth. And I thank the Lord that in his mercy, he was gracious to me. And this morning, if God has laid on your heart that things aren't right, do you realize that he is extending his mercy to you? But what are you going to do? What if this is your last Sunday? Proverbs 1. There comes a point where, read it, Proverbs 1. What are you going to do this morning? Are you going to leave here? Or are you going to answer the loving, beckoning, passionate call from a Savior that gave everything? Not so that we can give it a try and I hope, Lord, I do good. No, we come to Him at the height of our brokenness, at the height of our arrogance, at the height of our shame, at the height of our guilt. The only thing we bring Him is a mess. One big stinking mess. And that's what I love when the Scripture says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And what is the promise? I will give you rest. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, I'll tell you what you're saying in your mind right now. I want some rest. I know it. You know why? Because I lived it. But the only person that can change that today is you. God can't do anything else. He's in everything. The deafening call of salvation, the cry to come to Jesus right now is as loud as it's ever been. Do you think you're here by happenstance when God laid this message on my heart? I think not. But your choice this morning is to embrace in your brokenness the incomprehensible love of Jesus Christ, or to harden our hearts and in a sense, roll the dice that we have another chance. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.